and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God purposed for us to use the stars in the night sky to mark certain times of the year. I'm a January girl, born under the constellation of Capricorn. Capricorn was high in the sky when I was born. It's part of my identity. But I do not really think that just because certain stars were high in the sky when I was born, that I'm prone to certain characteristics. It marks when something was happening, not how and why. When I was at university in Ripon, North Yorkshire, there were certain times of the year when if you walked around a particular corner on my way home, then Orion would be there, right in front of me, kind of almost like the balcony. Just come around the corner and there he'd be in the sky at a certain time of year. It was amazing, always amazing. And it must have been winter because it was a dark sky, not a light sky. I remember that. And clearly I have lots of memories of walking home in the dark. Not that I stayed out late, whoops. But there he was. And of course, seafarers have used the stars to navigate the skies, navigate the seas for many years. The Magi were sky watchers, likely Zoroastrian priests. They knew the sky so well that when a new star appeared, they saw it. They saw the difference it made to the familiar pattern, and they were curious. Many people have tried to figure out scientifically what this celestial event was, and there doesn't seem to be a definitive answer out there, though they seem to think that most likely it was formed by a conjunction of a few planets coming together in the night sky. And that also would somehow, it also explain the way the star moved as they travelled towards it. Suffice it to say that these experienced sky watchers saw something bright and new, were curious enough to seek out more meaning from it. They convinced themselves it was signified a new king, so they decided to travel and pay homage. Of course, we read in Matthew that they turned up at the royal palace expecting a new king to have been born, but none was to be found. Herod, the king there, was rather perturbed by this. He knew enough to worry that it might be true, but not quite the full significance. But he had access to people who knew more than he did. So when he asked them where this king would be born, they could say, "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." And this was written in the prophet Micah. So gradually, God revealed himself to the Zoroastrian Magi. He disturbed their status quo, got their attention by creating something bright and shiny for them to follow, step by step to gather information until finally, destination Jesus. Anybody else a sucker for shiny new things? So what has your attention at this moment? What or who are you following? For me, it's music. Always has been. And I remember a long time ago when the top 40 charts used to come out on a Tuesday lunchtime. What a ridiculous time. 12:45 on Gary Davis's radio show at lunchtime. And this was must be mid-80s. Anyway, it was a time when I was going home from a lunch, and I would come back to school with my lovely plastic bag that's typical 80s, I don't know if you can see it very well, with my radio in it, listening to the top 40 coming back. Now, unfortunately, this happened at one, it finished at 1 o'clock. School started at 5 to 1. It was really, really annoying. However, yeah, I did used to have it in the classroom sometimes. Oopsie. Yeah, my school was a bit rough. We didn't really bother about these things. So I used to follow it. And in 1986, the lovely Smash Hits created this amazing big poster for you to fall in the top 10 every week, each year. So that lived on my wall under my window. And I remember filling it in every week. I was keeping track of the music. What was it doing? Who was going up where now? I can tell you, I'm sure that was the year that Berlin had to number one with the... I can't even remember what it is from Top Gun. For me now, I just cannot keep up with the music. My brain is just too many brain cells gone. But I do keep track of worship songs. So when Jeremy Riddle's new album came out earlier in November, and it's changed months now, I did get excited. New songs. I still follow those charts. And also because of leading worship, I get the emails from the CCLI, and on the 1st of December they did their fresh top 100, which is based on, you can't see that at all, can you? Based on the reports from churches of what we're singing. So the top one is In Christ Alone, then 10,000 Reasons, How Great Is Our God, Oh Praise the Name, Cornerstone, Goodness of God, This Is Amazing Grace, How Great Thou Art, What a Beautiful Name, and Living Hope. And guess what? We sing all of those. And I did read the whole 100. And to be fair, there was only about 10 I didn't know. I can look at these and I think, well, that's old. Where are the new ones? And I'm looking for the new ones. And I'm looking for their elevation and Graves into Gardens. And I made it down in the 90s or something. It'll work its way up. But without my background knowledge and without me looking, I wouldn't be able to interpret this information. So because I keep an eye, I can follow it. So back to the Magi. They had the knowledge of the sky, but they weren't in touch with the maker of heaven and earth to be able to fully interpret what they saw, to interpret it fully and accurately. They're not wrong. It was a new king. They were right. Just wasn't quite where they expected him to be. So God began to reveal himself to them from a distance until finally they did meet Jesus face to face. Have you met Jesus face to face? Has he shone a light in the sky of your life, given you a distant dream to follow? Or are you a little bit in the dark at the moment? You're here tonight. God has drawn you here. Whatever reason. Advent is about preparing for Jesus to come, but it's not just about the memorial and remembering his first coming. As Heather was talking to us 2 weeks ago, it's about getting ready for the second coming. Are we ready for Jesus to come back? Because it's soon. And although Heather said 2,000 years doesn't seem soon, if we remember that 2,000 years to the Lord is like a day, Tim, it's only been 2 days. Still soon. It's still soon, Heather. There's a light in the distance. Can you see it? Is it moving? Shall we follow it? What does it mean? Do you watch the skies? That's actually a photo of my cousin in New Zealand. I don't know if you can see him at the bottom, Pertin. He's just won a competition with that photo for a long exposure, and you know, they've got a lot of mountains in New Zealand. So he sat there under the skies, under very still. But because I was talking about skies and photos, and there it was in Facebook, I thought I had to show it. I watch the skies. I love watching skies. I love the clouds, the formations, everything. I always have, even as a child and before I became a Christian. And on the morning that I decided to follow Jesus, there was a beautiful mackerel sky as I woke up. And I'd been to see a Billy Graham film the night before, and I woke up and I was like, I knew I was going to go and visit the Christian Union at school that day. And there I got up and looked out my window, and there's this beautiful sky. And I just kind of, for me, that was the moment I kind of went, there has to be a God. There just has to be. This just doesn't happen. And when my mum's mum was really ill, just before she died, my mum and I were sat looking out over the sea. We were on holiday. And mum was really upset. And then suddenly, mum calmed down. And there was this glorious golden light underneath the cloud. 9 o'clock in the evening. Of course, we found out the next day that was exactly when her mum had died. That peace, and I wasn't a Christian then, that I really remember that. That peace and this golden light in the sky. Jesus himself pointed out that we're able to read the weather from the sky. He says in the Bible about the red sky at night and red sky in the morning and what that means. But he then criticized them for not seeing God's signs of what God was doing. He said, you can read the skies, but can you read God? In Isaiah, he says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The seasons are changing. God wants to draw near to you tonight. He's drawn near. And as we move on in worship shortly, we're going to involve lighting candles as part of our worship. But there's reasons for this. And this is what I believe God wants to speak into our lives tonight. As you light a candle, maybe he wants to remind you of an old vision, an old star that you were following, something that he's spoken into your life in the past and you've followed, but has maybe drifted from what you're following now. And I think he wants to reignite that flame. So if that resonates with you, I encourage you when we come to worship again. There's tea lights, and Emma's going to light the big candles later. There's tea lights over there. I encourage you to go to the front as part of your worship, light a candle, and remember that thing that God gave you. I think for some of us, it's about needing something new. You know, I've been walking with God 30 years, and not everybody in this room is even that old. So for you guys, it's probably about something new that what God wants to speak to you, to maybe give you that star to follow in your life, that thing. So I encourage you to go and seek that something new. Go and light a candle and receive from God. But also there was another thing. I really felt that for those people who felt that they were stuck in the darkness, in a tunnel, that it would be a really good idea to go and light a candle as a sign of the light at the end of the tunnel, that you are beginning to see the light at the end of your tunnel that you're walking through. And I know that for some of the people in the room, that is going to be true. So I encourage you to go and do that, to light that candle as a representation of God bringing light at the end of your tunnel. And as we were singing the blessing, I really felt God say to me that he has gone round us already and given us that light inside us, so that as we go up to light a candle, he's already placed it in our hearts. And it says in Ecclesiastes that he has set eternity in our hearts. He is here. So I know a lot of people, you do know Jesus, but if there is anybody here that doesn't, I'm here and I would love to pray with you. If you want to meet Jesus for yourself tonight, I would love to pray with you and talk to you. Go and light a candle and say hello to him. So, as maybe encourage the musicians to come back, as we finish, as we move on, as we're not finishing, because we've got quite a few songs left to sing. But in this next section, I encourage you, during this time, go up and light a candle for one of those things. And I'm sure that one of them must mean something, because it's about the old, it's about the new, and it's about the help. So, Father God, as we move forward in our worship tonight, I pray, Holy Spirit, come. Come, touch our hearts, touch our minds. Help us to see your light in our lives this Christmas. Amen.